Disability has been described as the number one health problem facing the nation. Traditionally, public health professionals have emphasized ways to forestall disability, but we also need to address the ongoing health needs of people with disabilities. And just kind of to give some people some background information on disability, Social Security defines disability as a person who cannot do the work that they did before, cannot adjust to other work because of their medical condition, and whose disability will last for at least 1 year or result in death. They do not include short-term disability in this because they assume people have cash reserves or familial obligations that can get them through a short-term disability. There are two types of disability insurance that people apply for. Supplemental security income is a program funded through general taxes, and it pays a small stipend to anyone who passes a Social Security review. The second is Social Security Disability Insurance, which is an insurance program funded by an individual's Social Security taxes, so people pay into it over the course of their working lives. Medicaid buy-in programs, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about today, are programs that incentivize people with disabilities to work because they allow people to maintain their health care coverage with greater earnings. They're part of the Ticket to Work and Work Incentives Improvement Act, TWIA, of 1999. And this legislation was designed to remove barriers to people with disabilities from working because of their concerns about losing their health care coverage. There are currently 45 states with Medicaid buy-in programs that allow people to work and not lose these medical benefits. States that have the blue stripes are states with buy-ins. States in green have a Medicaid infrastructure grant with the purpose of increasing employment among people with disabilities. Policy goals of buy-ins are large. Basically, the number one is to remove the choice between health care and employment for individuals with disabilities, but we also hope to replace a government check with a paycheck if possible. Working Healthy is the Kansas Medicaid buy-in program. To qualify, a person must meet several criteria, such as having a disability determined by Social Security, being between 16 and 64 years of age, and being employed. Many Working Healthy participants pay a premium based on their income, but that premium is never more than 10% of their earnings. It's actually usually quite low. Many Working Healthy participants, Working Healthy can also help people who have a disability qualifying medical condition, but who work too many hours to qualify for disability. We have a special state level review process that gives them access to the health care that they need. A popular misconception we have found is that once someone is identified as disabled, that they can no longer work at all. But working actually improves the quality of life for people with disabilities. It increases levels of social involvement, community involvement, as well as financial status. Since enrolling in Working Healthy, 53.4% of our satisfaction survey participants report improved mental health, 59.3% report improved financial status, and 59.9% report increased independence. In addition, we have found that Working Healthy enrollees' Medicaid expenditure go down while their overall wages increase over time. And you can see that here on the two charts at the bottom of the slide. So we know that Working Healthy improves the lives of people with disabilities, and people with disabilities repeatedly tell us that they do want to work. So we're always trying to explore and develop ways to address the barriers to employment for this population. In past research, current and previous Working Healthy enrollees have identified three primary barriers to work. These same barriers were identified in focus groups that included individuals who were eligible for but not enrolled in Working Healthy. And these barriers are their physical health, mental health, and discrimination, which is what I'm going to talk about today. The data that I'm addressing actually come from three sources. As mentioned for the previous slide, we conducted 9 focus groups at the Centers for Independent Living throughout the state of Kansas. Focus groups were hosted by Center for Independent Living staff, but we had at least one Working Healthy representative at each focus group. More than 150 participants participated in the focus groups statewide. Participants were racially diverse, but primarily Caucasian, and included men and women aged 16 to 80 years with a wide variety of disabilities. Some were enrolled in Working Healthy, but most were not. Some were employed, but again, most were not. And we did identify recurring themes in the text of our focus group transcripts. Working Healthy Satisfaction Surveys have been administered for close to a decade. Each year, we send a survey to all Working Healthy participants. In the last year, we had 417 returned for analysis. Survey responders were predominantly Caucasian, 87%, 55% were women, and the mean age was 48.7. Responders had a variety of disabilities, but the most common, and the most common in the Working Healthy group, is mental illness. The demonstration to maintain independence in employment is a separate project funded by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to see if the provision of Medicaid-like benefits can forestall disability in people with chronic health conditions who are underinsured. DMIE participants came from the Kansas high-risk pool and were underinsured, again, with chronic health conditions. We held 11 focus groups throughout the state. We had 67 underinsured urban and rural Kansans who participated. And these individuals, because they were in the Kansas high-risk pool, were generally self-employed, and many were small business owners. Depending on where they came from, we had a wide variety of people who owned ranches to people who owned metal fabrication factories. So, people with disabilities repeatedly tell us that one of the problems they have finding employment is that employers see the disability first. And you can see some of the quotes that we identified here. Employers not only see the disability first, but they assume that people with disabilities are more expensive to hire because they have expensive accommodations or because they will cause workman's compensation insurance to go up. Both of these are myths. The government has programs that offset the cost of accommodations, and workers' comp rates are actually based on past history of safety, not on who's actually employed. And one of the quotes that I was going to read, something that we hear commonly, they just make assumptions because you're using a wheelchair, you're not capable, they think you're physically disabled, they think you're stupid. So, from the community members and from potential employers, what we've heard is that disability is a form of welfare. Particularly, the potential employers did not realize people enrolled in Social Security disability programs could and did work. They saw programs as welfare, not understanding that it was a form of insurance that people had paid into throughout their working lives. They frequently said that people on disability were ripping off taxpayers and living off the government. When they saw individuals who they knew were on disability and who did work, they assumed that the person was not really disabled and was just scamming the government. So, for example, nice and succinctly, people on disability are crooks. Overall, poor community attitudes stem from ignorance, are very negative, and often related to a person being a drain on the system. And the quote on the bottom, I've had two fellows tell me with a straight face, one a pretty good-sized farmer, like 25 quarters of ground in North Area County, and owns own business, the only thing wrong with Social Security, if we just lined you guys up and got rid of you, we'd probably be doing pretty good in this country. We've actually had several people tell us that people have come up and said things like that to them. So that's actually fairly common. One of the things that I added that I wanted to mention today as well is that we're actually seeing these attitudes spread into our social and rehabilitative services caseworkers, so the people who are actually supposed to be administering the programs. These individuals do come from the community, and with budget cuts, we've had really heavy caseloads, and they have very limited time for things like education. So this is something that we also need to start addressing. And you can kind of see one of the people who was in vocational rehabilitation, when they went through their caseworker, they wanted to go to the zoo, they wanted to work with animals, and they were stuck in a muddy field pulling grass, and this person was very capable. So, what we can do to help. Currently, we have a $4 million national media campaign called Think Beyond the Label. And I had inserted a commercial in here. See if it's going to.
Sure, I'd like to diversify my workforce. I just wish that all of the important information was gathered together in one place. Thanks. Do you work here?
Not yet.
From tax info to debunking myths, the Field Guide to Evolving Your Workforce has everything you need. Download it now at thinkbeyondthelabel.com.
Hopefully you were able to hear that. And hopefully some of you have actually seen those ads on television. We have been running those in prime time. This campaign was launched February 1st, 2010, with print, billboard, television, and web ads designed to debunk myths and encourage people who own businesses to hire people with disabilities. This is the first national media campaign dealing with the employment of people with disabilities since the 1970s. The campaign was spearheaded by the organization health and disability advocates and is the cooperative effort of 30 states, including Kansas. Television ads like this one were created by the Chicago ad agency Wirestone, and ads emphasize that all workplaces must accommodate differences from the worker who is copying capable to the worker who is printer afflicted, as you can see in some of the other ads that we have. The campaign also emphasizes that diversity is an asset to all businesses. Companies that hire people with disabilities benefit from employees who are able to think outside the box because, in the words of Barbara Otto, Executive Director of Health and Disability Advocates, they have to live outside the box. Not every state is offering their own campaign to coincide with Think Beyond the Label, but Kansas decided to add this to this national program with their own statewide effort. Organized by Kansas Commission on Disability Concerns and funded by a grant from the Kansas Medicaid Infrastructure Grant, Working Healthy, Kansas provides three components as supports to Think Beyond the Label. We have a website, which is pictured here, a business resource for disability and employment. The site is a place for employers to connect with job seekers, to post open positions, and to find resources for hiring, retaining, and marketing to people with disabilities. We also have a helpline for employers who have questions or concerns that are immediate or not answered through our website. And we have a marketing consultant who is meeting with and presenting information to the chambers of commerce, economic development organizations, individual employers, and other interested groups. Based on our data, however, we would actually like to expand this effort. What we would like to do is incorporate community outreach into these campaigns facilitated by public health agencies. Community outreach is a well-tested model in public health interventions that is used most often to address the health needs of hard-to-reach populations, such as HIV prevention among injecting drug users, cancer screenings for individuals in remote rural areas, or the basic health needs among undocumented workers. Community outreach has also shown success in larger communities when community leaders or well-respected members of the community were given information to disseminate and training by public health agents and then sent into the community to disseminate their new knowledge. Such a strategy is credited with helping Senegal, Africa avoid an HIV epidemic on the same level as many other African nations. Working Healthy has several ties to public health and academic agencies that could assist with the development of an intervention that not only educated community leaders on the employability and importance of hiring people with disabilities, but could employ people with disabilities to provide this education to community leaders and, when possible, entire communities. And that's our goal. We'd really like to have public health facilitate training people with disabilities to act as community change agents or advocates for people with disabilities in the community. So, in conclusion, work improves the lives of people with disabilities. People with disabilities want to work but often cannot find employment due to discrimination. A national effort is underway to educate employers about the importance and benefits of hiring people with disabilities. Efforts should include community outreach facilitated by public health and performed by people with disabilities. Thank you.